Now, a new bipartisan bill is making its way through the Wisconsin legislature that would change some of the ways that cooperatives in the state do business and structure themselves. Some groups, like the Wisconsin Farmers Union, are opposed to parts of the bill and say that the essential nature of cooperatives could be affected.
We'll hear from an opponent in just a bit, but first, Scott Herrick is an attorney in private practice in Madison. His practice includes advising cooperatives of various kinds and assisting in the organizing of new cooperatives. He served on an informal work group that reviewed the state's cooperative statute, Chapter 185, and he testified in favor of this bill. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into this possible change in rules for co-ops, can you tell us what kind of co-ops are we talking about? What are they? What do they do in Wisconsin?
Well, the co-op statute in Wisconsin, Chapter 185, is a very broad general statute. It provides for cooperatives, which is a form of corporation. Mm-hmm. And the statute itself is no more specific about what a co-op would do than any other corporate law is. The general corporate law, a corporation can do anything that's legal. A cooperative can do just about anything that's legal, with a few exceptions that aren't relevant here. For example, credit unions have their own statute. But a cooperative can do just about anything that's legal. It's a question of the financial structure and the internal structure of the entity. So co-ops are one way of organizing businesses. Most co-ops in Wisconsin probably are farm-related, but many co-ops in Wisconsin do other things. Housing co-ops, for example. Many people are familiar with grocery co-ops. And in fact, I have clients that do all sorts of things organized as a cooperative.
And you were part of a recent working group that reviewed these state statutes that govern cooperatives. What led to that review?
Well, folks who deal with co-ops, who operate co-ops, try to stay up to date. So every generation or so, they take a look at the statute. As it happens, I was involved. I'm just old enough to have been involved 30 plus years ago when there was another look at the statute to just kind of upgrade it, that was implemented in 1984 or so. And then now, again, folks have said, well, we'd like to do this or we'd like to tweak that part of the statute. And so the cooperative network, which is a kind of general association that has many different kinds of co-ops as its members, convened an informal working group to take up those inquiries and questions and suggestions and put together those ideas, which in turn went to the legislature. So the bills that are now being worked on reflect specific issues or questions or requests from existing cooperatives.
So what would change under this legislation in the Assembly and then a companion bill in the Senate?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not a lot of changes or upgrades, if you will, in the bills. The single largest one is not controversial at all, has elicited no opposition that I'm aware of, and that would authorize Wisconsin electric cooperatives to make a certain kind of member loan, that is, loans to its customers, its members, for purposes of energy efficiency. For technical reasons, those co-ops can't make those loans now. The other changes involve some what I regard, what the committee regarded as kind of housekeeping details about member access to the past year's records, financial records of a co-op. And probably the two points that elicited a significant amount of concern: one would allow a co-op to, through its own mechanisms, to have a small number, up to 20% of voting power, of what are called outside directors. Current law requires all directors of a cooperative to be members of the co-op. And several folks said, well, sometimes we'd like to have some outside people for various reasons on the board. We don't want them to control the board. We'd like to be able to elect outside directors. And so the bills would allow that to happen if the bylaws provide it. And then another point of some controversy, current law limits the dividends that a co-op can pay on stock to 8%. Now, in fact, most co-ops don't pay dividends at all because that's not the way a co-op is intended to run. Cooperatives, by definition, are not dividend-paying organizations. They tend to distribute their surplus, as we call it, through patronage rebates to the members or patrons. But the law does allow for dividends if they choose to do so, and currently restricts those dividends to 8%. The committee agreed with concerns that came to it, the working group, that 8% limit doesn't really function for anything these days. It has a historic roots, but it doesn't have any current function in our view. So it just eliminates that cap on dividends. And then one final change would allow a certain kind of co-op, of which I believe there's only one in the state, maybe only one in the country, but it's called a cooperative holding company. And the change would allow a cooperative holding company to amend its organizational documents so that it could distribute distribute voting power based on its patronage rather than simply on the one member, one vote principle. And I think that authorization, that possibility is the single point that elicited the most vehement or emotional or deeply felt opposition from folks generally, because they say a co-op always has meant and always must mean one member, one vote, no exceptions, and this would authorize a change in that aspect of the statute. So that was a basis of some opposition to the bills as they now stand.
We're talking to attorney Scott Herrick about proposed changes to the statutes that regulate cooperatives here in Wisconsin. And Scott, as you mentioned, that the one member, one vote issue is one that's gotten the most emotional reaction. And again, you say it applies only to one organization in the state. Is this an organization that involves a lot of different co-ops as subgroups or as members of this overarching group?
Well, you know, I'm not intimately familiar with the organization, but the general answer to your question is yes. It's CRI, Cooperative Resources, and that's an organization that has grown over many years, has deep roots, historic roots in Wisconsin in the co-op community, and has grown and become very complex through mergers and acquisitions. And CRI is the only cooperative holding company in Wisconsin that is it's a co-op that owns and controls subsidiary cooperatives. It was the first in the country, and I think maybe still the only one, but in any case, it's the only one in Wisconsin. The general principle applies even to CRI in terms of these statutory modifications. The statute does not change the way that CRI is organized. The statute allows CRI to change the way that it is organized if it chooses to. It doesn't give it a different voting system. It authorizes CRI through member voting to adjust its member voting system to give some weight to patronage instead of simple membership. So just like really everything else in the bill, even this provision, this most controversial provision, I've characterized it as a tool rather than a mandate.
We'll be talking to an opponent of this in just a few moments. I think the fundamental concern about those two changes, the voting membership, the one group, one vote, and the outside directors being on a board, some people in the cooperative field see that as against the spirit of cooperatives. What would you say to that?
Well, people have expressed those views with deeply felt emotion, which I have to respect. But I have to also say that as an attorney, I look at Chapter 185 as a way to organize the finances and governance of a legal entity. To be honest, I don't get very emotional about Chapter 185. And I say that as an attorney who has devoted a substantial part of my practice and my life to organizing and representing Chapter 185 cooperatives. And there aren't a lot of attorneys who have done as much co-op work as I have. But I still look at it as an instrument. And I think that the economy and the way we do business generally in the world and in Wisconsin has changed over the 100 plus years that we've had cooperatives. Wisconsin is certainly a cooperative model. I respect, but simply do not share the emotional tie to the word cooperative. It's up to the legislators to decide what we can do and still call ourselves a cooperative. The word co-op is controlled legally, and you can't use it in the name of an entity unless you're in Chapter 185 or a related Chapter 193 for special purposes. What can we do and still be called a cooperative? How can we organize ourselves and still be entitled to use that wonderful word? Well, it's up to the legislature to say. I personally think that time has marched on. The economy has marched on. CRI, as an example, has marched on. Every time I organize a new cooperative, people ask me, well, we'd like to put some people on the board who aren't members. Can we do that? And I say, no, you can't. And they live with that, and that's fine. But every once in a while, there's a co-op that would like to be able to have an outside eye on the organization from the position of being a real, actual director. In the outside of the co-op movement, that's extremely common. In fact, it's often required, often thought of as a desirable and, in fact, mandatory thing. No outside directors? That's outrageous. You've got to have some outside directors on the board. Co-ops can't have outside directors. I don't think it's a spiritual question to say that co-ops ought to be able to have an outside director or two as a minority vote on the board. It's reasonable, in my mind, to put up to the will of the membership of the co-op and still be a co-op. I feel the same way about whether a cooperative holding company should be able to adjust the way that it determines its own voting power. It would be the members of the co-op that would make that decision. And I think they ought to be able to make that decision and still be call themselves co-ops. And I'll say one last thing about this. As a matter of fact, I would say, and I've said in testimony and to people involved, just about everything we're talking about doing with these bills could be done under the current rules with a little careful legal drafting. We already provide ways for voting to not simply be one member, one vote, for example. In summary, I see it as a toolbox that we can put a few more tools in. If the legislature decides not to put those tools in the toolbox, life will go on.
Scott, thanks for joining us today. Scott Herrick is an attorney in private practice in Madison, whose practice includes advising cooperatives of various kinds and assisting the organizing of new co-ops. He served on the informal work groups that reviewed the state's cooperative statute, and he testified in favor of this current bill before the Assembly and Senate.
Next, we hear from an opponent of the bill. Stay with us. You're on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're looking at a bill moving through the Wisconsin legislature that would change how cooperatives in the state are able to structure themselves and how they do business.
We just heard from attorney Scott Herrick, who was part of the working group that reviewed this Chapter 185 of the Wisconsin statutes that affects cooperatives. And he testified in favor of this current proposal. Joining us now in the studio is Kara O'Connor. She's Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which opposes many of the changes in this bill. Kara, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we heard kind of a recap of what this legislation would do and kind of the case for why this might be useful. What are your concerns at the Wisconsin Farmers Union about the changes that would happen?
Let me start by saying there is one part of the bill that we think is fantastic. That is the part that would allow electric cooperatives to grant loans to members to do energy efficiency projects. Because of a technicality, they're not able to do that now. We think it'd be great if they were able to do that in the future. Unfortunately, that part of the bill got tacked on with some other pieces that are a horse of a different color and a big concern to our members and should be of concern to any member of a cooperative in the state. The changes would allow cooperatives to have up to 2 or up to 20% of the board comprised of non-members, and those outside board members would have a vote, including votes on what happens with the equity that cooperative members have invested. Cooperatives would be allowed to change their bylaws in ways that would advantage or give greater returns on outside investments compared to returns to members on their equity. And finally, the bill would greatly restrict members' access to records of the cooperative. Now, as a cooperative is a unique kind of business entity where the members own the business. And we think it's really a obstruction of the nature of a cooperative to say that the owners of the business do not have access to the records of the cooperative.
And we've heard there are a lot of different kinds of cooperatives in Wisconsin. With Wisconsin Farmers Union, how big a role do cooperatives play for farmers here in the state?
Obviously, our members are primarily farmers and rural residents, mm-hmm. and cooperatives are an integral part of the rural economy. It's important to note that cooperatives usually exist where there's a gap in the market that another business hasn't stepped up to fill. So, for example, rural telephone cooperatives emerged because the large telecom companies weren't interested in investing in rural areas. But there were people who wanted telephone service. They banded together. They invested in a cooperative. And those cooperatives are still operating and very successful today. And so in rural economies, you have dairy cooperatives that pool and sell farmers' milk. You have supply cooperatives where farmers buy together in bulk and get the advantage of that. Any number of cooperatives, fuel, even we even had a member who said, I bought my bedroom furniture from a cooperative. And it's not uncommon for our members in rural areas to be members of 5, 6, 7 cooperatives.
What is your concern about the possibility of having outsiders on the boards of cooperatives? We heard the case that, hey, maybe this is somebody who brings a unique expertise, even though they're not a direct member of the cooperative. This could be, that outside perspective could be a benefit.
It is absolutely the case that cooperative boards need outside advice. And I would say it's almost universal for cooperatives of any size in the state that they do have outside advisors, someone to give them advice on marketing trends, a particular area of their business like animal genetics that the members of the board might not already have. But the critical difference is that those advisors don't have a vote on the board. They give advice, they are looked to for their expertise, but the co-op members that are representing their fellow members of the board take that advice and make the decisions in the best interest of the members. That's the critical difference. And so we absolutely support and encourage cooperatives to have advisors. Some people call them ex officio board members, non-voting board members. Absolutely. But where we draw the line is giving those outside advisors a vote.
This legislation wouldn't, as I understand it, force a cooperative to have outside board members. The cooperative members would vote to decide if they want to allow this. So this doesn't, nobody could opt in. Would it be okay if an individual co-op decided, hey, we would benefit from this?
You know, that's an argument that we've heard over and over in this discussion. The supporters of the bill have repeated again and again, well, this is optional, not mandatory. And well, it's technically true that no cooperative would be forced to make these changes. Let's be honest. You don't go ask for an act of the legislature without intending to use it. The cooperatives that have advocated for these changes the most adamantly have already decided that they want to make these changes and have testified in public to the advantages of them. Unfortunately, they didn't take the time or the effort to ask their members first. And so we've had the really troubling picture in the legislative hearings of cooperative board members testifying in favor of the bill and their very own members testifying against it. And that doesn't bode well for the fidelity of those cooperatives that have signaled an interest in this bill to the democratic cooperative process. You have some co-ops that would never think of making these changes because they're so anti-democratic. And you have other cooperatives that have already decided without asking their members that they want to. That's troubling.
Talking to Kara O'Connor from the Wisconsin Farmers Union about proposed changes. They're in the state legislature now to the way cooperatives are governed and structured here in Wisconsin. There's also this this change that would apply to just one cooperative group, sort of a super co-op that consists of sub-co-ops. It gets a bit complicated, but the change would be to allow, I guess, bigger stakeholders a bigger vote, a bigger voice in decisions. Is that part of this that you're opposed to as well?
That's a big concern. You know, as a lobbyist, I read a lot of pieces of legislation, and it's always a red flag when there is a bill that would give rights to one business entity that are prohibited to everyone else in the state. And that's what's happening with this portion of the bill that would relate to a cooperative holding company. There's only one of those in the state. It's Cooperative Resources International. And I am not sure why that particular cooperative is finding the provisions of Wisconsin cooperative law so onerous to comply with when we have thousands of other cooperatives that are thriving under Wisconsin's cooperative statute. But I think it's fair to say that going and asking the legislature to change the law isn't the right approach.
Again, supporters of this proposed change say this gives co-ops flexibility. Again, nobody has to pick any of this up and run with it. Why is it bad to have co-ops have maybe a little more wiggle room in how they structure themselves?
I'll give you one example of why even a cooperative that wouldn't adopt these changes could be affected by them. That is the 8% cap on returns to capital investments. Right now, there's an 8% cap, and the way that that came to be was to make Wisconsin statutes in harmony with federal statutes that apply only to certain kinds of cooperatives, but they would still be subject to that 8% cap. There's good reason to have harmony between Wisconsin law and federal law. So if we would make this change, we'd have a split between those that are still governed by federal law and those that are governed by state law. And unfortunately, then co-ops would not be on an equal playing field. Even ones that didn't adopt these changes would be affected by potentially loss of capital.
Kara, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Kara O'Connor, Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Farmers Union, talking about proposed changes to how Wisconsin cooperatives do business. These bills are in the Assembly and the Senate right now.